Just wad them up in your hand like a Kleenex and just let them go. Let them go. Oh, just cast them on the Lord. Father God, we cast all of our cares on you. We cast all of our cares on you tonight. Knowing that you care for us, it's impossible, Father, for us to understand how much you really do love us and care. But we reach out in love to you. We thank you, dear God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Well, we'll let you be seated tonight. Holidays are busy times, but oh, let's don't be too busy for who the holiday is all about. Praise be unto the Lord. God is so awesome. I just want to encourage you, come to the house of God and just come rejoicing. I said, come rejoicing. I said, come rejoicing. Said, in and into his gates with singing, not sighing. In his gates with praise. Hallelujah. You know, this morning in my time of devotion, the Lord just really led me to Isaiah, the 36th, 37th chapters right through here. This is one of the strongest accounts in Holy Writ of Satan just bringing an all-out whatever against the people of God. And it's all about a man by the name of Sennacherib. If I had a name like that, I might be mad at the world too. I don't know. His mama must have had a hard day when he was born, I'm telling you. But in all seriousness, I mean, it just lays it out. I don't have time to read all of it because it just, there are so many wonderful truths, insights into what the devil, you wonder why some days are so difficult. Well, you just follow the reading of these verses and see what happens. Sometimes Satan just pulls out every stop and says, let's go after so-and-so. They're gaining a little too much on us, They're speaking the word a little too strongly. They're up for the occasion. And in the 36th chapter of Isaiah, it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defensed cities of Judah and took them. So there was a day when this man just rose up, and because he obviously had a good army and a strong army, and who knows, maybe the people of God weren't on their toes like they should have been. I don't know. But I know one thing. The Bible said that he came against all the cities of Judah, and he took them. Now, that's pretty successful. You don't just overtake one city, but he came against all the cities, and he took them. And there's so much that goes on that I don't have time to read all of it. And what happened at that point, and what happens all the way through, it just happens in one wave after another, that Sennacherib and all of those that are with him, they begin to do exactly what even happens today. They begin to try to discourage and cloud and defeat and divide the children of God. If he can just get you off the promises, if he can just get you off the promises. I said, if he can just get you off the promises. I said, if he can just get you off the promises and get you on the Fort Star Telegram or the Dallas Morning News or the Wall Street Journal. I'm talking about the negative part of these journals, any of them, or on the news or whatever. And what happened there, here, what was left of the cities that were not yet overtaken, then they came against them and began to speak to these people and to the people of God. And as you read it, you'd pick up that story. The end result of it was, and we'll get there in just a few minutes, but finally there was a letter that was sent to Hezekiah. Now, let me just give you some simple insights into these two chapters, especially Isaiah 36 and 37. Satan has a letter for every child of God. He's got it in his file. He's got it in his computer. He knows what rings your bell. He knows what brings fear. He knows what would ruin your day. Amen? Satan has a letter in his computer that he's just waiting, if he hasn't already, he's just waiting for the opportune time to send you something through the mail. Amen. And you know, if you can just see what's happening, if we can just keep in mind that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. I'll tell you tonight, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just, as I read it this morning, I just thought how powerfully God's Word sets forth profound truth in such packages of simplicity and shows us, just draw as an artist would draw the picture and say, now look at that picture. Do you see? There he is and there you are and here's what he's, you know, there's just no doubt about it. Satan has a letter for every child of God. And you say, well, what's in that letter? Well, it depends on what flips your switch the worst. It depends on what really bothers you or bugs you or, you know, what would get to you even on a good day. Amen. And, you know, for those that have not lived a rugged life, he has a letter for them. And then for those that have made a lot of mistakes in their life, He'll let you float along here a little while, and then he'll come in, and he has things like, he'll just say, you're just an old rotten sinner. Don't you remember that sin you committed when you were 10 years old? 15 years old, 17 years, don't you remember how you failed? Your sins are not forgiven. And I'll tell you, that's one miserable way to live. If you have any sensitivity at all to believe that your sins are not forgiven. Then he'll come along and, I mean, these are just a few things. God doesn't love you. God doesn't love you. Well, you know, it's a terrible life if you feel like God's mad at you. I mean, that just takes all the fun out of life if you believe the wrong thing. That God doesn't love you. And I mean, there's just all kind of things that he comes. He'll come and they're just a feeling of hopelessness. You can't make it. Don't you understand? You can't make it. Amen. You can't make it. I've been with, well, three, almost going on four. Well, it would be four, but 50 years of experience. I've had a few experiences. Amen. And I've been sitting on a board of a ministry of people with strong faith in God, and an attorney had sent a letter, or somebody had sent a letter, or some board member sent a letter, and just said, we can't make it. I've been in a board meeting room when the news comes, we can't make it. Sometimes they say, I'm just resigning. And I mean, it's just a variety of experiences over a period of time that you go through. And that just made me so mad, I've come unglued every one of those occasions. And I said, yes, we can make it. Amen. I wouldn't be in this room. I wouldn't have traveled. I wouldn't have flown. I wouldn't have been here if I didn't believe you could make it. And get off that trolley. Amen. We can make it. It may not look like we can make it. It may be in the natural that you can't make it. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. I said, amen. 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 I've been in board meetings where even attorneys advised. They said, you might as well just close up shop because of certain things. I mean, just you can't believe the things behind the scenes that come against ministries over a period of time. Just some of them are silly and nonsensical, and some of them are quite serious. Satan will do everything he can to knock a quality Christian or a quality ministry out of what God called them to do. And I've been there myself, God knows how many times, in so many ways. But one of Satan's biggest lies is, yeah, you've made it to this point, but this is it. This is it. Yeah, you lucked out. You lucked out. You made it. Your banker got you out, or your mother-in-law got you out, or, you know, your your auntie got you out, or somebody helped you come through a difficult time, but you can't make it now. Now, folks, I'm having a little smile between the cracks here, but this is real life. There are days in the life, very few believers escape what I'm talking about right now. There is a time of the day or the night, sometime in the 24 hours of the day, when no matter what the past has been and what the present really is, Satan will come and say, you can't make it. God doesn't care. You've had it. Amen. You just can't get there from here. It won't work. It's over. It's over. And if it happens in the night, it usually happens about 3 o'clock in the morning, about 2:15, 2:30. Amen. That the enemy will come. But you know, I just have to slap myself on both cheeks because I've learned when Satan throws his worst fastball, it simply means something good is on the way. Hallelujah. God does love you. If you've asked God to forgive your sins, they are forgiven. They said, well, they're in the sea of forgetfulness. Well, I don't know if that's scriptural, but they're as far as the east is from the west. That is scriptural. They're just not there. They're under the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I mean, people have called me. They were ready to call Greenwood, Laureland, or Owens, you know, doctor giving them a report, and they're going in for the final consultation. And I mean, they just called me to see if I'm going to be available, you know. please let me down easy, you know, Pastor. We believe you'll be kind. We believe say some nice things about me. And then I said, whoa, it's not over yet. They're not throwing clods on your box right now, so just praise God. Then maybe a few hours later, a call comes and says, whoa! The doctor said there's no sign of... Amen. Hallelujah. Now, why am I dwelling on this? Because if he can get you thinking like this, then you'll get off of God's business. You'll get off of prayer. And if you pray, it'll be a defeated prayer. And you'll back off of everything that is wonderful and good and, well, I say godly, I mean the things that are good in your life, if he can just get you thinking and believing in the wrong way. Amen. You're going to use faith one way or another. You're either going to use faith to believe that you can make it, or you're going to use faith to believe you can't make it. And either way, it works. Just make up your mind. We've come this far by faith. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, Mahalia Jackson, I just loved that song. That was in the old record days, you know, and I'd play that and shout to victory. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed us yet. Woo! Famous Baptist evangelist a few years ago, Dr. Lester Roloff. Some of you never heard the name, but he was a very strong man. Unfortunately, he flew into a storm and his plane didn't make it. He flew into a storm against the advice of those that tried to get him not to do it. But anyway, you know, we're still human when it's all said and done, aren't we? But I'll tell you, when the plane went down, he went up. Praise God. But he used to say, I've heard this song, that he's never failed us yet. He said, I don't like that yet. I don't like that yet. Praise God. So Satan has a letter for every one of us. And what I'm saying is real. I'm not playing with words tonight. This, you can rest assured after all these years, what I preach, 99% of it I've been through myself. Praise God. Satan has a letter for every child of God concerning every area of your life. And he'll try to, you know, another thing he'll try to do, he'll try to separate you from real Christian friends who love you for the right reasons. If he can get you away from people that really care, that really love, people that will stand with you. My, hallelujah, people who love you for the right reasons. There was a movie, if they depended on my dollars for movies, Hollywood would be broke. But I just saw it advertised in the paper. The title was Liar, Liar, Liar. Well, of all the movies I would go to see, that'd be one I don't want to see. Because when I hear liar, 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 I go back to Lucifer, who blew the best job in the universe. I mean, Lucifer blew the best job. You talk about job security, you talk about high places. It's not a laughing matter. He blew it, and a third of the angels blew it with him. Oh, my. But Satan will try to separate you from those that love you best. Satan has a letter for every child of God. And you know, you say, well, I've already received a letter like that. Well, he's got some more. He's got them in his computer. He's got them in his computer. He's got them in his computer. And they may read a little differently, but it's all there. It's the same old brown paper sack that he just changes the ribbon on it, and you think it's something brand new. And you know, he may send it in anyway. He may send it by your best friend. He may send it by your banker. He may send it by your doctor. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not being unkind, but I mean, it can come in a variety of situations. It may come by the U.S. Postal Service, or let's see, what are the other two services? FedEx, thank you. You get a letter too? No, thank you. You helped me out. It may come by FedEx. It may come by Brown. I don't know. But he has a way of saying, he may send it by any number of ways, but it always comes at the wrong time. Every once in a while it'll catch you on a mountaintop, but it usually comes at the wrong time. I may need an exit door up here. Don't get quiet on me now. Always comes at the wrong time, usually. But you know, God's word is always right on time. God said God's word. Most of my Bibles that I wear out, I wear them out. Isaiah 40, the 41st chapter. When that starts to go and that starts coming loose out of the Bible, I know it's time to hook up and get me another one. Praise the Lord. But on my shelf at home, it's usually the 41st chapter of Isaiah where my Bible begins to come apart. Because when the pressure's on, I know where the life is. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Amen. Now, this is not a negative message. This is a positive message. I'm just telling you how to be strong in a challenging time. Amen. I've got victory in my heart tonight. I really... But it always seems to come at the wrong time. Come at the wrong time financially. Come at the wrong time emotionally. Come at the wrong time. It always seems to come at the wrong time. But you know, as I look into this Isaiah 36 and 37, I trust you'd read this in your devotion or before you go to bed tonight, because it does have a happy ending. I mean, it's not a downer at all. But you see, he did everything in the world. Here's what the followers of Sennacherib did. They worked on Hezekiah's people. And they said, don't believe Hezekiah. It won't work. Don't you know our boss has whipped everything in sight? The king we work for, he defeats everybody he has a war with. Who do you think you are? I mean, just everything negative you could think about. And he said, don't believe, don't believe. Well, I'm going to tell you, you stop believing, you're in trouble. I'm a believer. We've got to keep on believing. If thou canst believe, if thou, and you can, believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. And he said things well, like in the 36th chapter, verse 14, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver. Your king can't deliver you. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust. Boy, do you listen to the language of this? Pick a fight with anybody, but don't you pick a fight with God. Because you're going to lose every time. And they said, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. That is dirty. That's scumbag. That's below surface. That's sub-zero. Don't trust in the Lord. saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. My, my. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria. You make an agreement with me, and I'm going to give all of you horses. I'm just summarizing some of these. He said, I'll give you horses, and you'll have a good life. I mean, you just surrender to me, and until I take you to the promised land, you'll just be blessed on every... See, the promise is for the future, but he's... Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of milk, of bread and vineyards, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Man, he's getting deeper and deeper all the time. Right here in 36th chapter of Isaiah. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his hand out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And he just went on. But you know, verse 21, listen to this. You know, there's a time... Just hold steady. Hold steady. Verse 21. But the people of God, Hezekiah's people, when all of this stuff was coming out, they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Don't answer him. Yeah. Someone said, well, the devil's been talking to me all day. Why are you talking to him? I mean, you're getting kind of desperate for someone to talk to. Why talk to him? Said, answer him not. And, you know, I really appreciate these people that because, you know, there's some believers you'd say that to them. They said, bless God, no one's going to tell me who to talk to and not talk to. But Hezekiah, and you just don't get in this mess. Don't get in this pit. Just hold steady. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, when he heard it, in chapter 37, just going through, when he heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with a sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. I mean, this is pedal to the metal. I mean, this is how could I say it? This is all-out warfare. This is a man who said, there is a problem, and only God can solve it. And he rent his clothes and put sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And, oh, my, 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 my. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my, my. Let's see, I can't read the whole thing, but let's see, it may be that the Lord, let's just read. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and of blasphemy. The enemies blasphemed God, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God. And will. It just gets deeper and deeper. And so it said, wherefore, lift up, right in the center of verse 4, lift up thy prayer. It's time to pray. You know, there's a time to stop talking and start praying. There's a time to stop talking and start praying. I'm going to say that again because that's so right, you know it's right. I mean, there's a time you need to stop talking to yourself, saying the wrong thing. You need to stop talking to your husband or wife. You need to. There's just a time to stop talking about it, and let's pray. Let's go to the source of victory. Let's go to the one who's never lost a battle. The Lord of hosts, the God who always wins. Lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now, you see, they're coming to the anointing and the prophetic. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you, oh, I just love it. Thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord. You know, what we need when we get the wrong mail is thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So it's gone from Hezekiah to Isaiah, and the prophet of God said, the prophet of God said, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. Talking about Sennacherib, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Well, if you just finish this out, he did go back. He did go back, went home. And going over to chapter, well, this would be still in chapter 37. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Hallelujah. And it came to pass, well, it said, let's see, let's go to verse 33, and we're going to come to the end of what we're trying to say tonight. 33 to 38. When you get the wrong kind of mail, go to God, go to the man of God, go to the house of God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, Ushabara Katara, hallelujah, not come into this city, Isaiah 37, verse 33, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. It's time we start speaking stout words over our city and our metroplex. I said it's time to start speaking stout words over our city and over our metroplex. He said, for I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians. What is that, 185,000? And smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early, hey, that's just one night. Over in Hawaii, they were singing and they sang it over and over and over again. The God of angel armies. The God of angel armies. It's part of one of the current songs. Is the God of angel armies. One angel, not a whole bunch of angels, not Michael and Gabriel. One angel. Doesn't even say who the angel was. Slew 185,000 one night. And when they arose in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, this guy that's causing all the trouble, you know, he's an enemy of God. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went, returned, and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, now listen to this, because this is the last verse. Listen up. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroth, his God. He'd been talking about Hezekiah's God. Now his God. There's just one true and living God. I said, there is just one true and living God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. His God. In the house of his God. He went to the wrong church, didn't he? He went to a house of a God, but not the house of the God. My Lord. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroth, his God, that the sons smote him with his own sons, as he's worshiping in the house of a false God. Wrong church, wrong God. Really not a God. His own sons, he's at the altar. His own sons smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of All right, I believe that. And his son raised in his stead. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you start reading in these two chapters and it looks like the people of God are out of it. They'll never win. Their God can't get there from here. I mean, it's just negative. And before it's over, one angel. Folks, we're on the winning side. I'm talking about the people of God. We're on the winning side. One angel, one night, 185,000. Boy, that's a busy night, isn't it? Whew. I tell you, he must have had a sword in each hand like a weed eater. Dear Lord, one night, one angel of, Shabarekiasai. Hallelujah. God not only has messenger angels, God has warring angels. I said, God not only has messenger angels, God has warring angels. And he giveth his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, what are you so enthused about, Brother Nichols? Because our God reigns. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. And as I said, I mean, and what I'm talking about now in the beginning of this message, I've been in board meetings. I mean, these people are going on strong for God, and they didn't go under, and they didn't go back, and they weren't defeated. They just hit a bump. Everybody hits a bump in the road every once in a while. Everybody, you know, hits a situation that only God can help you through. But in a moment when it seemed totally impossible, you know, we used to sing a chorus, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power will do. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I know we've had one altar call. Brother Pryor, come here real quick. Let's see if there's anyone here that, you know, God can turn someone's life around tonight. I don't know how many people have been in our church services, but they didn't live